I'm going to St. Thomas. It's our once a year vacation right after Christmas.
Is
I'm going
right?
to find her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Wow.
I know.
All
I'm
right,
going.
Report back.
I will. Hi, Julia Mazzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, join the Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group on Facebook. There's like 60,000 people in it.
Yeah, and that is what it is, and it's what it's called.
And that's what it's called. It's where you go to make new friends, where you go to talk about the episodes. It's where you go to, I don't know.
It's like hang.
Hang, be in a highly moderated, super fun, very safe place to like be cool on the internet. What's the other thing?
Patreon.
Oh my God, we've got a Patreon. Over 500 full bonus episodes ad-free. Right now, what are we doing? We're doing the Devil
We're doing
in the Desert.
Stalking Samantha.
Stalking Samantha.
You just did Devil in the Desert. We're doing the Ellen Greenberg thing. We're doing Trophy Wife. We're doing the Philly Mafia. I mean, we're all over the place.
It's everything that has multiple episodes on like Netflix, Hulu, Max, all that stuff. So yeah. We go episode by episode. It is wild. It's fun. It's amazing.
And it's also ad-free versions of these episodes.
Yes,
and
correct.
And then we'll do Drag Bingo, and we have that calendar that we do at the end of the year, depending on the tier you're on. So we got a lot going on.
If you're a hero, Belle, we just saw all of the sketches for the annual calendar. And they're so good.
I love it.
All right, girl, what are we talking about today?
All right, this is on Hulu and I think Amazon Prime. It's called Vanished in Paradise, The Untold Story.
Newspapers call it Jason Bourne syndrome.
My daughter had been pulled out of the water into a car where
she didn't know who she was.
This is the stuff of movies.
All three times Hannah disappeared, it was just as the school year started.
Someone can go offline from their own personality.
Sometimes it can be for years.
Everybody assumed that I was aware of her past disappearances, and I wasn't.
Elizabeth Vargas is our host. I love her.
Yeah. We are in St. Thomas, which you will be soon.
Yeah. America's Paradise is called.
Yeah. Lots of tourists.
I'm going to go snuba diving.
I've done that. Yeah.
So that's the thing where they give you a line to the surface.
It's scuba, but you don't have to be certified. And I think the air tanks rest on the water. I did it with my dad a million years ago.
We'll see.
It's like scuba and snorkel. That's why it's called snuba. It's like, you don't have to be like fully certified.
You know that I have like that deep water thing.
Yeah. I don't know why you're doing it.
I signed up for it, but I'm not necessarily doing it. Well, I just didn't want to not be able to do it on the day if I felt like it, but I probably am not going to go.
You're not going to do it. But no, what's crazy is that the guy, I think I've told the story, but the guy was like Captain Ron who went down there with us, like a total like
oh my God.
Florida guy who, you know, like Norbert Leo Butz in Bloodline.
Oh yeah. I'm really struggling getting this shirt
and
off,
Captain
girl.
Ron. Yeah, you are. But I freaked out. I was like, I was young, but I freaked out because it was the weirdest feeling in the world to be able to breathe underwater.
I don't think I'm going to like it.
And I was like, I don't like this. And he calmed me down totally underwater and he like showed me. It was like we did like a breathing exercise, but the feeling of like, oh, I can breathe down here was insane and I didn't like it, and then it was awesome.
This is not making it better for me. I don't know.
Get yourself Captain Ron. I don't remember his name, but he was great.
Anyway.
But we learned that there's also a lot of transplants from the mainland. I know someone who did that. My friend Carrie's friend Erin moved to the Virgin Islands and she's never been happier. She moved to St. Thomas.
Why wouldn't everybody do this?
Yeah. I knew her from when I was bartending at the karaoke bar and she was like a regular there, and that's, you know, with Carrie. And she one day was like, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm going to go and it's going to be awesome and bye. And
bye.
She went and she's having a lovely time.
Well, we learned
that close-knit community has been shaken by a mystery involving one of their own. Hannah Upp, a popular, outgoing 32-year-old school teacher, vanished into thin air one September morning.
She's popular. She's fun. She's outgoing.
Yeah.
We meet Joey Spolino. He's Hannah's ex-boyfriend in St. Thomas.
Yeah. He abandons her real fast. It's the first opportunity.
What do you mean?
I just mean that, like, we're going to learn there's a lot of weather coming. And, like, basically what goes wrong here is that Hannah decides to stay and everybody else decides to leave. And I was just thinking, like, Joey's like, bye. I'm like, I don't know. If it were my partner on the island, I don't know what I would do.
It's a devastating shitty situation to be in, really. To be like, well, the smart thing is to leave. But
yes.
I get like, what do you do?
I know.
I don't know.
I know.
So everyone knows Hannah on the island. It's super small. You can drive across St. Thomas in like 30 to 45 minutes.
Do you know how you have to do that? On the other side of the road. So we're getting a car while we're there and we've got to drive on the other. And they just let you do it. You don't have to take a test. They just like let you rent a car knowing you've got to drive like you're in England.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
It is.
Yeah.
But it's only like 30 minutes at the absolute most.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's really small. It's 13 miles across. So you can get to
from one end
to the other, but in like 30, 40 minutes.
Can we all just drive slowly, I guess, is my only question.
You're going to have to ask them.
I guess you're right.
I have no say
you're right.
Over this.
You're right.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, one of the people that we meet says that you end up in this life of transplants on St. Thomas if you're not typical, which I loved that she said that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a really interesting like way of like this kind of, not that they're like misfits, because a lot of the people that we meet are like school teachers that are working with like Montessori kids and all that.
Yeah.
But like, I love this idea of like, you're just kind of like, the rest of the world didn't work for you. So you ended up there.
Or you're just the type of person to be like, I'm going to do this and leave my life behind and go.
Once again, I might not come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Girl, Everyday Dose is back. Look, fam, you know this. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits.
They combine high-quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long.
Yeah, it tastes just like regular coffee. That's important to point out. Like, those things don't make it taste any different. It tastes just like your regular morning 100%. Coffee or afternoon or evening or late-night coffee. Without the downside, fam, there's no crash, there's no jitters, just clean, sustained energy. Can you tell I've already had mine today?
I absolutely have. Let me tell you, especially on TCO recording days, like Lion's Mane and Nootropics, it really, really helps with focus.
Yes.
And you know that as an ADHDer, I need all the help I can get with that.
Yep. And I'll take all that productivity, efficiency, like add it to the list of things I love about Everyday Dose, girl.
And especially like it's the end of the year. Everyone has a million things to do.
I know.
You need it.
We got it. So fam, get 45% off your first subscription order of 30 servings of Coffee Plus. You receive a starter kit with over $100 in free gifts by going to everydaydose.com/TCO. And entering TCO at checkout.
That's everydaydose.com/TCO for 45% off your first order.
45%?
I know, get into it.
They're giving it away.
Coffee that's working for you.
Exactly.
Finally. So Hannah moved to St. Thomas in 2014.
She really went native, as the saying goes. She got very involved in the community, very involved with her students at the Montessori school, and she made a wide circle of friends who spent a better part of a year searching for her.
She worked at the Montessori school and was very involved. I went to a Montessori summer camp or summer program when I was like 6 years old. I freaking loved it.
Doesn't that just mean like there's no rules? Like you can just kind of do whatever you want?
In my memory of it, there were a lot of like hands-on stations, like a lot of like water, like a cool thing in like a station. And it was like we did a lot as opposed to like sitting in a chair and getting like talked at in school.
Oh, yeah.
It was like activity-based. It was also the summer program, so it super felt like camp, but I loved it.
It's funny because like when you think of Montessori, like I remember when Daisy was going to kindergarten, like that was an option.
There's a lot like, of like hands-on stuff.
I just remember being explained to us as like, they can sit at the desk or not. They can lay down on the carpet and kind of, they can do the lesson or they can read their book. And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, I had fun. I just remember like making things, like doing cool like water activity. But like, it was like, here's like the bin. With that was like six.
Yes.
You know?
And before anybody gets mad at me, I'm sure if your kids went to Montessori, I'm sure it was wonderful. I just like, I was not a very good student, so I needed structure. So I don't know. I tried to pass it on to my kid. And then and now here we are.
Well, Michael Bourne is the head of the Montessori school. So he might have a word or two.
And all of these people loved her.
Yeah. And like Maggie, her best friend is here.
It was exhausting like being Hannah's friend. She was just out straight for days, was either doing her work or all of her sports and social activities. And she was just, it's exhausting. But Hannah was extra of everything.
Hannah was extra.
Yeah.
And there's just something about Hannah. She seems like a really interesting, very special person. But like, there's something about her that is a little bit hard to like put a finger on. And I think that bestie Maggie is sort of saying that in a way here.
Yeah. Cause we learn, like, Maggie will also tell us that Hannah wasn't really open with her friends. Like, even Maggie, her best friend, is like, oh, there were significant things about her life that I only knew after she went missing because everyone was trying to, like, piece things together. So even her best friend Maggie didn't know everything.
And, like, in fairness to Hannah, like, that's gonna kind of happen if you're one of those people who's, like, moving to the island from the main. Like, I get it. Like, they've made whole TV shows about this. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's got a little bit of a secret. I get it. But I think that, like, Hannah is a complicated person in a way that we don't really get to understand in 42 minutes. And how could we possibly? No slight to the documentary. But, like, I'm interested to know more about her. And Maggie is saying a lot when she's saying this thing about her here.
Yeah. And it's interesting because on the other hand, Hannah loved Zumba. It's where she met Maggie, actually.
And Ganel.
But yeah. And so Ganel says, because Hannah used to dance in the annual spring carnival parade every year.
Yeah.
And so her friend and Zumba instructor is like, oh, she lived for this. And she's literally like, oh, I'll have what she's having. Like, I wanted her vitamins. So she, like, her friend and Zumba instructor is describing it as like a positive, energetic thing. I guess in a Zumba class, yeah. Like, you really need that.
Upon my second watching of this, I think that, and I don't mean to diagnose, I'm just saying what I'm seeing as a casual observer. I think that, like, Hannah would have manic episodes. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there was a little bit of a manicness to
sure.
her.
Sure. Yeah, that's what Maggie's saying, at least.
Yeah. Or and, like, even Ganel, who's like, I'll have what she's having in a way of, like,
I want her vitamins.
Yeah. Like, she just seemed like she was a lot. And I think that that maybe sort of explains some of the things that we learn about her later.
Yeah. So her backstory is that she grew up in Oregon.
Who grew up the daughter of two Methodist ministers in Oregon. A warm, compassionate child who went on to an elite college, Bryn Mawr, and became a popular teacher in New York City and Maryland before moving to St. Thomas.
It's not like she quit her job or left her whole life behind in that right. sense. She just is being a teacher. Just now she's in St. Thomas.
And it was Montessori all the way through. Like, it was Montessori in Harlem. I'm assuming it was Montessori in Maryland. It's Montessori on St. Thomas. Like, she's into that style of teaching.
Yeah. And then we meet Hannah's mother, Barbara, and we're with her a lot. She's, like, driving in Hannah's car. She's searching for her. She's made it her whole life to find her kid.
It was at this point in the documentary that I was like, hang on a second. What is the timeline here? So we're going to learn that Hannah goes missing in 2017 from St. Thomas, and this documentary is made in 2019.
Yeah.
I was like, was this documentary made yesterday? And the mom's been there since 2017. So it's a 2-year timeline for the when she goes missing to when the documentary is being made.
Yeah. So September of 2017 is when she went missing, like you said. And it's when Hurricane Irma hit St. Thomas.
Yeah.
It's the biggest storm to ever hit the Caribbean. Everyone was on edge. It's a deadly storm.
I mean, it. Like, we see a lot of video of it. And it
I
is
hate it.
Absolutely terrifying.
I can't, like, talk about it too much in detail. It makes me, it is so, those kinds of natural disasters really I find incredibly upsetting. I know, not a hot take.
No, I know. I've probably said this on the podcast before, but like on the, I used to work at the W in Midtown Manhattan and I used to live way up in Northern Manhattan and I would take a taxi late at night home up the FDR Drive, which is the east side. And if you don't know the geography of Manhattan, on the east side of the island, that highway is very, very, very close to the river. Mm-hmm. And when it would have like big rainstorms, a lot of times the river floods. Would just like flood that. And that was absolutely terrible. Like, we forget this, but we live on an island. We are at or below sea level.
The infrastructure isn't really built well either.
No,
so
it does not take a lot for us, for our little island to flood. And like, there are parts of Manhattan where like you get a bad snowstorm and you see like video of the subways literally like waterfalls.
Or you get like, it rains a little bit.
Yeah.
And like the entire subway is just, it's really, we got to do better.
It is terrifying
it's
though.
Really
you know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. I have thoughts about the infrastructure of my lovely hometown.
Yes.
So September 4th, 2017, 10 days before Hannah goes missing.
At the time, everyone was on edge. Hurricane Irma, the biggest storm ever to hit the Caribbean, had begun its deadly course through the Atlantic, just as the school year had begun.
Winds now 185 miles per hour.
Everyone on the entire island was preparing for this hurricane.
The entire island is prepping for the hurricane. And just, again, to be clear, it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's 13 miles long, 3 miles wide. You can drive from one end to the other in like 30, 40 minutes.
The winds are 185 miles an hour.
Like,
and we're seeing the palm trees literally like that are going from vertical to horizontal.
It makes me so anxious.
It's crazy.
So September 7th, 7 days before she goes missing, the hurricane has passed. The island is all but destroyed.
We get some home video of seeing Hannah like in her laundry room of her building, like texting with her mom during the storm.
Yeah.
We hear about like a window that gets blown out and she describes the sound as like a freight train is going through. The building is shaking. The walls are bending. It is really, really scary.
Yeah. It's very, very bad. No water, no power.
Yeah.
So 3 days after the storm, Joey, Hannah's ex, checks in on Hannah and she's safe, but obviously she's distraught. Like,
yeah.
And he says it looked like she hadn't slept in a while. Like, I mean, that's horrifying.
And like, we learned that the island is not doing great.
It was insane. And it was like there were just telephone poles strewn about everywhere. And there were roof panels everywhere.
The destruction to St. Thomas is massive. Hurricane Irma leaving people without power, drinking water, and growing increasingly desperate.
There's no power. There's no drinking water. There's debris everywhere. The telephone poles are down. Homes are destroyed. Like, it's not just like it was a scary thing and now we've got to rebuild. Like, there's no drinking water.
No, it's horrible.
Yeah.
So then Hannah and Joey drive to Joey's place together so that Hannah can call her mom. And it sounds like Joey's house is in better shape than Hannah's.
Yeah.
And so now, September 12th, 2017, 2 days before Hannah goes missing, a second Category 5 hurricane is about to hit the island, and this is Hurricane Maria.
Like, this is
the famous, like, I mean, yeah. Irma and Maria, you know, and coming back to back. And I got to tell you, Mike and I went to Puerto Rico in the months after.
Yeah,
Maria,
I remember this.
And it was devastating to see. And that's like after like help had arrived, yeah. I say in air quotes. So I can't imagine, like, this shit makes me so anxious.
It's really bad.
But now that they know that a second Category 5 hurricane is about to hit the island, everyone's like, okay, we have to leave now.
Well, not everyone.
Not everyone. So, like, people are trying to get off the island. Yeah. And Joey, Hannah's boyfriend, is one of those people. And Hannah wants to stay put.
And I don't understand this because we're going to learn later that some of what she goes through is, like, a trauma response to the severe weather that she just lived through. But she doesn't want to leave. And Joey, like, makes the sort of, like, heartbreaking decision of, like, okay, girl, like, I'm going, though.
He says that they hung out the night before, and at 6 o'clock, she gave me a hug and wished me the best. And he says her heart was in St. Thomas and her intentions were to stay there.
Yeah.
So she made it very clear.
And it could be that, like, she felt so, like, strongly about the school, you know?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. But so September 13th, that's one day before the disappearance. This is where Hannah goes to her classroom to sort of prep the classroom for the storm. Like, she wants to minimize whatever damage is going to happen to the school as best she can.
Yeah. And Norma is the director of the school, and she tells us very plainly,
I was a little concerned. The tone of her voice was very sing-song, and she was just so compliant, which is not the normal Hannah. That's the last time that I saw Hannah.
She uses the word, she says Hannah was being compliant.
Yeah, like, that word stood out to me too, because it's like as though Hannah has made peace with whatever's going to happen.
She says that she was compliant, and then she says that was not the normal Hannah.
Yeah, I mean, the normal Hannah is the one that's, like, you know, ripping it up in the Zumba class in the middle of the road during carnival.
But also, just to be fair, how normal is anyone going to be when you just went through the worst hurricane to hit the Caribbean and then the second one is on the way and it's going to be even worse to compound all of that damage? Like, that would scare the shit. I feel so anxious thinking about it. Living it must have been, I'm sure no one was, like, fully themselves, I bet.
Totally. And, like, Norma's there. Like, not everybody was leaving. So maybe that tells us that the people who worked at the schools, like, really cared about the schools and felt like they had to stay.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people left if they had the means to go. They left, but obviously, like, Joey kind of made it seem that Hannah was the only person there, and it seems like that's not the
case. It can't be true, yeah. Girl, Remy is back. Look, the holidays are here. Tis the season to grind your teeth. It's a stressful time.
People are stressed out.
I know.
But I have it on good authority that Mr. Steve Tipton loves his Remy Night Guard.
Steve loves his Remy Night Guard. He used to go to the dentist. It used to be so expensive. It was such a process. Not with Remy. He did it because they were a sponsor. And then, like, the next day, he was like, wait, this is, like, my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, so Remy's custom night guards are clinically tested to prevent teeth grinding, reduce jaw tension and facial muscle strain, and improve sleep quality.
So all of that is great, but here's what Steve loves the best. You get the same professional quality and comfort as a night guard from the dentist, but Remy costs you 80% less and is much more convenient than having to go into the dentist's office. And as an added benefit, you can use your HSA or FSA benefits towards your night guard at checkout.
Yeah, it's so easy. Can I just walk you through how it works?
Yes.
You receive your impression kit straight to your door.
Yep.
Then you just follow Remy's step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression.
Yep.
Then Remy crafts and ships you your custom fit night guard, and then you get your night guard back and start protecting your teeth. It's so easy.
You do it at home. Gone are the days of going to the dentist for this stuff. You don't need to do it.
It's over now.
And fam, for the holiday season, Remy is gifting their customers with their 2-in-1 foam that both cleans your night guard and whitens your teeth for free when you order a night guard between now and December 24th.
Go to shopremy.com/TCO and use code TCO to receive 55% off your new night guard plus a free foam gift.
That's shopremy.com/TCO for 55% off a night guard plus a free gift when using code TCO.
Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode.
And for getting my husband to stop grinding his teeth.
Well, that too.
I mean, you know what I mean? So it's September 14th, 2017. This is the day that Hannah disappears. And best friend Maggie is here to tell us what we know. So Maggie tells us Hannah's roommate saw her leaving the house around 8 a.m. that morning on September 14th. And nobody saw her after that.
Like, nobody. So she left for work or whatever at 8 in the morning, and then nobody saw her.
Yeah, remember that timeline.
Like, so now it's September 15th, 2017. It was a Friday.
Yeah.
They were going to have a staff meeting, and I guess to, like, prep for the incoming doom.
Yeah.
And Hannah is not there, and no one has seen her since yesterday at 8 a.m.
And they go to her house. Her car's not there. So whenever she left yesterday at 8 a.m., she took the car. Now, this is where we get a major revelation.
They say
when Maggie called Hannah's friends back home, she was given a mysterious instruction. Look by water.
I called one of our coworkers and I said, can you go and check the beaches for Hannah? And she went to Sapphire Beach first because that's Hannah's favorite beach. And Hannah's car was in the parking lot of the beach.
Look by the water. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Why are you telling Maggie where to look?
Yes.
And I'm like, has this happened before? Maggie doesn't ask. She just is going to the water. She's searching the beaches.
Like, look by the water. It's
the most ominous.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a paraphrase, but it's like, hey, like,
it's also
Patrick's
just
missing. Look by the water.
Look by the water. Like, just say what you mean.
So we're looking by the water. It's September 17th. Hannah's car is found in the parking lot of one of the beaches, and all of her things are there.
It's Sapphire Beach. We learned that it's Hannah's favorite beach. I've already planned a day at Sapphire Beach.
God.
Just, I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
It's Hannah's favorite beach.
Her purse, her IDs, her passport, her phone, hundreds of dollars in cash, her voter ID card,
yeah,
her bank account information, her credit cards, like as if she was gonna leave the island like most people were, but only she's not there.
Right.
But like everything she would need to take with her.
Yeah.
Is there.
The important thing about this timeline, because the next thing that happens is a construction worker finds her sarong, her sundress, and sandals folded on a bar stool.
Like folded nicely, like,
yeah,
like placed with purpose.
Yes. Like the thing that's really important to understand here that's not really clear is that Hannah was last seen 2 days before Hurricane Maria. So there was a really bad hurricane.
Irma.
Then there's a couple of days. And then Hannah goes to the beach with all of her shit and like all puts all of her clothes on a stool. And then 2 days later is the big hurricane.
But and also just to like really hit home, like it's not like everything went back to normal.
Right.
Everything was destroyed by Hurricane Irma. So
yeah,
like everything was folded and nicely placed on top of a bar stool in what used to be a beach bar.
Yeah.
It's still surrounded by destruction. So it's not like everyone's at the beach today.
No, but my point, I think what it took me until the second time watching this to understand was she didn't disappear in the second storm. She disappeared,
right,
2 days before. So like when she like folded her clothes up at the beach and put them on the bar, it was a nice day out. It was a mess. The beach was covered in debris and people will say later she would have been the only person there. Like,
right,
if she like went for a swim that day, which is what it seems like happened.
Yeah.
Like she drove to the beach, like you were saying, maybe with all of her shit, like she was going to leave the island. And maybe she's like, I'm going to go to my favorite beach
for one last swim
on this nice day. She takes all of her clothes off, gets in the water, and then is never seen again.
Because yeah, in between the days in between these hurricanes, there's no like free time. Everyone's
right,
panicking. Everyone's
yeah,
like preparing. Everyone's leaving. You know, it's
yeah,
not like the vibes are awful.
The vibes are awful. It was just in my brain, I thought she like went into the water in the middle of the hurricane.
No.
It was like, no. It was like she goes missing. 2 days pass, and then there's Hurricane Maria.
Yeah.
And they say that, like, after she goes missing, like,
several people actually went missing. It was just hard to find out where your family members were. And, you know, up to this date, we still have some, you know, people that were still missing. And here comes the second hurricane.
They only really could search for her for 2 days before Maria.
Everyone is looking for her, but they only have 2 days to search for her before Hurricane Maria hits.
Right.
So, like, that's just an important thing to me, is that she went missing in the middle of, like, a beautiful day, even though it was, like, the beach was a mess and everyone is panicking, getting ready for the next storm. It was good weather.
And this is where they tell us Hannah is an excellent swimmer.
Yeah.
Like, excellent, excellent. So she was winning swimming races all the time, but she'd beat everyone by like 45 minutes. I mean, really good swimmer.
You just made the good point that I want to reiterate, because it didn't occur to me, even upon the second viewing. She had all of her shit on her, her passport, her cash, her wallet,
bank
her cards,
information.
Bank information. As though she were going to leave. And then it looks like she like went and like changed her clothes at this, like what used to be this beach bar, and then like maybe went for a swim, and we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But it looked like she was going to leave. Like, she had all of
her
stuff with her.
And, you know, her cover-up and her sandals or whatever were, like, placed with purpose, it seems like. They folded nicely on a chair.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But she was an amazing swimmer. So, they're thinking, like, well, maybe she went for a swim and then something bad happened. And, like, everyone's, like, no matter how good of a swimmer you are, the ocean is the freaking ocean.
Yes.
And, like,
yes.
It's impossible sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when... like, the way the water is moving when a hurricane just left and another one is on the way, the currents are crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, the only thing to say about that is that, like...
you can swim to other islands from here, theoretically. But there's also a lot of boat traffic, a lot of private boats that would offer to help somebody in the water if they were in the water. The possibilities are really endless.
If she had, like, an emergency while she's out swimming, hopefully somebody would have seen her, but, or, like, her body would have washed up.
Or maybe not. I really don't subscribe to the, like, oh, her body totally would. You don't know the ocean. It's huge.
Especially in the middle of, like, a weather pattern, like a weather
and
situation
two of them,
like that.
Like,
yeah.
Two conflicting weather patterns. Like, you have no idea.
No, it's true.
So September 17th, 3 days after Hannah's disappearance, there is this major search effort. But as we're told, it's 3 days late. She's been missing for 3 days.
Right.
So what are we going to, I mean, the first 48 are the most important.
But there, people are also saying that, like, you know, if she wanted to disappear on purpose, like, she easily could have gotten on one of those boats with everybody just wanted these people off these islands. So, like, they were getting them on these passenger ships, getting them on whatever they could.
Yeah.
So if Hannah just wanted to vanish, like, she could have.
Because there's a PI here. His name is Steve. And he's like, yeah, theoretically, you could swim to other islands from here.
Yeah.
But there's also all this boat traffic and lots of private boats. So people would have seen someone swimming in the water, he's saying.
Yeah.
Especially because people are scrambling to leave the island.
Yeah.
And then he, like, says all this and he's like, right, so the possibilities of what could have happened are endless. And I'm like, thanks a lot, Steve.
Yeah, because it's like, there's no indication that she was trying to escape anything in her life.
And also, Hannah's not the only person missing, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very scary time
for
the island.
It's a very good point, yeah.
People are missing. They are in between two incredibly devastating hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like, it's awful. But then... everybody learns.
Everybody assumed that I, as like the point person for this search, was aware of her past disappearances, and I wasn't.
It turns out Hannah Upp had disappeared not once, but twice before.
Hannah has gone missing twice before.
Yeah.
Twice. This is her third time missing. I was like, what?
I know. These are pretty crazy. Like, she wasn't missing for an hour. Like, these are pretty wild stories.
So let's go back to time number one.
Yeah.
August 28th, 2008, 9 years earlier, she was about to start her second year teaching.
She's in Harlem, in New York City.
Right. So her roommate, Manuel, is here, and he describes the morning of the first day of school. He knocks on her door to wish her luck and remind her not to be late. Manuel, please stay in your lane.
No, but here's the thing, Manuel. I thought he was such a little cutie pie.
I'm sure he's nice, he's like, and then I told her, don't be late.
Don't
be
late. But I think his point is that, like, he
Manuel,
spoke
I'm sure
to her.
Very lovely.
I know. Don't, it's not, we're not mad at you. We're mad at the dirt, Manuel.
Right.
The point is he talked to her that morning.
Yes.
And then the story was she went for a run and then never showed up to school.
And it was like the first day of school. So they were buzzy. You
but
know,
like
it was
that timeline is the same as St. Thomas because...
and the date is almost the same. It's September.
Because that's why I said remember that timeline, because on St. Thomas, she was seen at 8 a.m. leaving her house. Like, that's about the same time she would have gone for the run in Harlem 9 years earlier.
And the dates are almost exactly the same.
Yeah. And then she just vanishes.
It's the beginning of the school year. The beginning of the school year.
And also, Manuel, later that afternoon, he gets home, he finds her purse, her wallet, her credit cards, same thing. She, like, took off without any of her shit.
Yeah. So Detective Samuel Perez is here from the NYPD, and he says it's treated like a homicide investigation.
And he says it was a really big deal. He said the mayor's office was interested, the teachers union was interested, the media was interested. I was saying to you before we started, I'm kind of surprised I don't remember this story.
Yeah, missing white woman syndrome, I guess.
True, but like the way that it was like on the cover of all of the papers.
It was in the papers, yeah.
You know? Girl, Chime is back. This is all about you having your money your way.
Yeah, Chime is changing the game when it comes to the way people bank. I'm just going to say it.
Listen, it's not just another banking app. They unlock smarter banking for everyday people with products like MyPay, which gives you up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and getting you paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Some old banks still don't do this, girl.
Yeah, you know also what I hate?
Yeah.
Fees.
Yep.
Like overdraft fees. And
tickling.
Yeah, that too, but mostly fees, like right now.
Yeah.
Like overdraft fees or minimum balance fees or monthly fees, and you don't have to deal with any of that with Chime.
And we're talking rewards. Chime turns everyday spending into real rewards and progress.
We're talking working smarter, not harder, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Look, it's helping you build your credit history. It's stress-free. You can earn up to 3.5 APY on savings, which is 8 times higher than a traditional bank. And they're rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. Real humans 24/7.
That's what, you know what? I need a real human every once in a while.
I mean, honest to goodness. So Chime is not just smarter banking, it's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today.
It just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/TCO.
That's chime.com/TCO.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services, a secured Chime Visa credit card, and MyPay line of credit provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. MyPay eligibility requirements apply, and credit limit ranges $20 to $500. Optional services and products may have fees or charges. See chime.com/fees info. Advertised annual percentage yield with Chime Plus status only. Otherwise, 1.00% APY applies. No min balance required. Chime card on-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Results may vary. See chime.com for details and applicable terms.
Girl, the evidence is everywhere. Half-wrapped gifts, cookie crumbs, and a suspicious rise in family group texts.
All those clues added up to one thing. It's the holidays.
Fam, take a break from the madness. Check out Holidays on the House at DraftKings Casino, where the only mystery is how much you might win.
DraftKings Casino delivers the thrill of discovery, the suspense, the reveal, the payoff, minus the interrogation.
They've paid out the largest online casino jackpot in U.S. history and awarded over $500 million in jackpots.
Yeah, because celebrating the holidays shouldn't be a crime. It should pay off.
New players, download the DraftKings Casino app and use code TCO. Play $5 and get 50 spins a day for 10 days on cash eruption slots.
That's code TCO and enjoy Holidays on the House, our gift to you this holiday season with DraftKings Casino.
In partnership with DraftKings Casino, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org.
Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility restrictions apply.
Non-withdrawable casino spins issued at 50 spins per day for 10 days. Valid for featured games only and expire each day after 24 hours.
See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Ends January 25th, 2026 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
Eastern Time.
So she's missing for 9 days. And after 9 days, a witness calls.
He says, look, I saw Hannah at 57th Street in the Apple store.
The tipster was an acquaintance of Hannah's from graduate school.
The surveillance camera captured that conversation, and essentially he had asked her, are you the Hannah that everyone is looking for? And she'd kind of waved him off and dismissed that idea.
They went to grad school together.
Yes,
he
yes.
knew her.
He sees her in the Apple store, like the fucking Fifth Avenue Apple store.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Especially, like, Apple is everywhere.
Yes.
Why is the 57th Street Apple store such a tourist spot?
I don't know. Well, it's beautiful. Like, there's, like, that big okay. Apple cube on the outside.
Who cares?
I know. Well, we're jaded New Yorkers. We don't care.
But you can go to the Apple store anywhere.
But it's like you can get M&M's anywhere. The M&M's store in Times Square is, like, the biggest thing on planet Earth for tourists.
Okay.
I know. It doesn't make any sense, but it just is.
It just seems like, oh, I'm going to go to Europe and then make a big tech purchase in another country. Uh-huh. It just feels uh-huh. like...
No, I'm with you on
we
this.
We have a lot of other things to see there and do.
Are, that's
like,
true.
Like in a couple block radius
I know.
From when you're standing online at the freaking Apple store
yeah.
in Manhattan.
I know. You know, I'm with you on this.
It just feels like...
It's not even the best Apple store in Manhattan.
I don't...
You know what I mean?
I hate going. If I don't have to go,
I know.
I won't go.
This is a real trigger point for you.
I really don't like it. The fact that they're called geniuses is obnoxious, and you can't tell me any different.
Look at the screen on my phone. Oh, you can't even really see it. It is cracked 8 ways till Sunday.
Yeah.
I can barely even swipe up without cutting my finger.
Gonna go.
I can't go. I'm going to lose a whole day going to the fucking genius bar. Why does it take a whole day? Why do you have to keep my phone? Why can't you just fix it?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
You have to ask them. They're geniuses. If they're geniuses, they should be able to do it in 2 seconds.
No, I'm with you on this. this.
Last all day.
But this guy says to her, are you the Hannah everyone's been looking for? And she's like, nope. Now, we also learn, and we get this fact given to us quickly, but I think it's important.
She had logged into her Gmail account and then immediately logged out. And so that was what made people realize that she was definitely alive.
After he's like, hey, are you that Hannah? And she's like, no, get out of my face, you weirdo.
Yeah.
But after that, that's when she logs in and out of her Gmail account. Like her Gmail account that she,
right.
that must be her name. So like, he's like, are you Hannah? And she's like, no. And he, and then she's like, Hannah up at Gmail.
Exactly. And then we learn she's been going to the New York Sports Club, which is like a, it's like a chain gym in New York City. And she's been like reciting her tag number. Now, having been a member of the New York Sports Club for years and years, there was a time in the, like in the, around this time, the 2005 to 2010s, where you needed to have your little badge to, for them to like boop you in. But if you didn't, you could memorize your tag number and tell it to them. And then there'd be a picture that would pop up to okay. prove that it's you. So I used to do this. And I'm thinking it was the same New York Sports Club that they showed in this archive, like the one in Midtown.
Okay.
But she was going there to shower.
To shower.
And she was giving them from memory her badge number, which is like a 10-digit number.
So she's going as Hannah.
Yes.
And so it's weird because it's like, yay, she's alive. But also, everyone in Manhattan is looking for her, including right. the NYPD and the mayor's office. And we still don't have her home safe. And all she's doing is leaving a digital trail of where she is.
And she would definitely know that they're looking for her, mostly because that guy she went to grad school with told her.
Right. But also, how have we still not gotten her home safe?
I know. I know. And like, eventually the cops are like, she was evading us. Like, she did not want to be found.
So it's September 16th, 2018.
This is going to make sense in 2 minutes.
19 days after her first appearance. And again, the dates are almost exactly the same as the St. Thomas disappearance yeah. dates. Hannah is eventually found in New York Harbor by people on the Staten Island Ferry.
Face down. She's floating face down in the harbor.
And she wasn't trying to swim. Remember, we know she's an excellent, excellent, excellent swimmer.
Yes.
She wasn't trying to swim. And the cop is like, it's as close to drowning as you can get. Like, they thought she had drowned. She's laying there face down in the water, not moving.
And it takes them like 7 minutes to get over. Somehow they rescue her.
She's alive.
Yeah.
She's taken to the hospital.
She was dehydrated, badly sunburned, and hypothermic. And they were trying to get all of that stabilized. Mm-hmm. But when I first saw her, she had no idea what had happened.
What did she tell you? Did she say, Mom, I can't
remember? She said, I'm fine, but I'm scared. I don't know what happened.
She can't remember anything. She doesn't know what happened or why it happened or when it happened or anything, but she's like...
From the entire week she's been missing.
19 days.
19 days, yeah.
But she's like back to being Hannah.
Right.
Because at the Apple store, she wasn't, but yet she knew her New York Sports Club login.
Yep.
She knew her Gmail login.
And password.
And now that she's at the hospital, she's like, oh yes, I'm Hannah, but I don't know how I got here. I don't know what happened 19 days ago to spark this.
And also
situation.
Like the thing that like I can't make sense is like, okay, we know she was showering at the New York Sports Club. We know that she was like going to the Apple store to check her email. Where was she staying?
I have a lot of questions that I'll ask later because
yeah.
There's something that sparked a ton of questions and I don't understand it.
Yes, yes.
So the psychiatrists at the hospital speak with her and they come to the conclusion that Hannah had what they call a dissociative fugue.
Which I only know from Breaking Bad.
Well, I was going to say, so it's when a person loses complete awareness of who they are. Now, Walter White, very early on in Breaking Bad, faked a fugue state when really Tuco had kidnapped him,
yes.
Jesse.
Yes.
But in that moment, you're
like an encyclopedia.
I love Breaking Bad.
I know, me too.
But, and Better Call Saul. But because yeah. you're thinking, you're like, how the hell is he going to get out of this with Skyler?
Right.
What is he going to say?
Yes.
Tuco kidnapped him and Jesse. Like, this is bad. How is he? He's still like a teacher.
Yes.
Like, this is when he shows up to the store and he's naked.
Yes.
And so that's how he gets out of it, to be like, oh, no, oh, I'm Walter White. I don't know what happened, but it's a real thing.
Yes. The fugue state is a real thing.
According to some people, some schools of thought.
I am asking this like rhetorically. I'm not like calling bullshit on anybody's horrible experience, but like, is this real?
Well, because we're told that this is both a super rare condition.
Yeah.
And a controversial diagnosis.
Yeah.
So, because Rachel from The New Yorker.
She spent 6 months researching Hannah's story and her diagnosis.
It's such a hard concept to grapple with, that someone can kind of go offline from their own personality. And that the fact that it's so confusing kind of makes people inclined to dismiss it.
it makes people inclined to dismiss it. And I'm like, yeah, especially when the newspapers are calling it the Jason Bourne syndrome.
I know. And now I don't want to be that dick who's like, this can never happen. This can't happen to anybody. But like, I don't know.
Are those movies good? I've never seen
them.
They're
fucking great.
Are they?
Oh my God. They're okay. So, the last ones, like with Jeremy Renner, I didn't watch when they switched the Bourne, but the first four I saw in the movie.
But apparently this is what happens to him. He doesn't know who he is.
Well, that's how the whole thing opens. He's like floating in the middle of the ocean.
What? And he's floating?
Yes. And he doesn't, yes.
What?
And he doesn't know who he is. And he's pulled onto a boat and all of a sudden his life is in danger. And then he's just beating people to death, but he doesn't know how he knows how to do it.
It's kind of amazing. He's Jason Bourne. But who is he?
I can't remember. All I know is that Joan Allen is also in this movie.
Okay, great.
And she's incredible. How does she not have an Academy Award? There are so many people.
Doesn't?
She not only does she not, Glenn Close does not. My mother takes umbrage with that.
What?
I know.
Why are you being so mean?
Look, I'm just calling it like I see it. Sometimes I got to be the bearer of bad news. Joan Allen does not have an Academy Award. I know.
I don't want to talk about it.
Either. I don't want to talk about it either.
But he's like a CIA guy? This Jason Bourne? Like, he's been trained for this, and then he just, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
We have, like, a real story to talk about.
I know. But do we?
But it's weird because, like, okay, this Jason Bourne thing, he forgets who he is, but she did know who she was enough to log into her email and remember her gym membership
That's
number.
The whole thing.
But the cops, like, people are not understanding it. And to Rachel from The New Yorker's point, it's like, it's confusing. So people are like, fuck it. It can't be real because I'm confused by it,
right.
Says people. Because the public is now harassing her and people are questioning her. And now we get audio from 2009 of a 23-year-old Hannah talking about this experience. She did one interview, and this is it.
When I first came to it, was like, what do you mean where have I been?
This is a recording of Hannah Up herself as she struggled to figure out what happened to her.
It goes from, like, going for a run to, like, being in the ambulance. And for me, that was, like, what, 10 minutes past? But it was, like, 3 weeks.
All I know is I went for a run and I woke up 10 minutes later in an ambulance, except it wasn't 10 minutes, it was 3 weeks.
Right. So she was in this fugue state for 3 weeks. And she is explaining she's mortified.
Yes.
She feels a lot of guilt. She's very confused. She does what you should never do, which is reading the articles about her and the comment section.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's really hard for her, especially because people don't believe her and they're like accusing her of all sorts of things. And she's like, I'm 23 years old. I went through some kind of crisis and now everyone is like talking shit about her.
My issue with this. And look, people are saying this is real, and Hannah says this is real. I am more than happy to believe it. I just don't know why I seem to be more curious about it than Hannah.
Well, especially...
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And to that point, so Hannah worked with doctors who told her she'd probably never fall into a fugue state again, but probably isn't definitely number one.
Oh, right.
Number two, 5 years later, this happened again. This is not the St. Thomas story. Now we're in Maryland.
Right.
Hannah had moved to Maryland where she was working at a Montessori school.
Again, same time of year.
Yeah. Water was involved again, but she came to sitting in kind of a creek in suburban Maryland and came to on her own, knew who she was.
This time, it lasted 2 days.
What's all the same shit? The start of the school year,
September.
Water is involved.
Yeah, so it's the same. She goes missing for 2 days in September, the same time of year as both St. Thomas, which is now in the future, and New York, which is in the past.
You nailed that timeline, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She came to by a creek, so once again, water.
We also see this creek, which I'm assuming is the actual creek, and it's fucking gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like, she like came to in the middle of this like gorgeous like fairy like, kingdom in the middle of Maryland.
But this is only 2 days, and then 1 year later, she moves to St. Thomas. So my question is, I have many questions.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
What can be done about this? Like, if this is real, what do you do to prevent this from happening?
Yeah. We were talking about this before we started recording. Like, if this were Daisy, I just don't think that I would. And I'm not blaming the mom. I'm not blaming I'm just saying if it were me, everyone's allowed to make their own choices. But if it were me, I just don't think I'd be like, you should definitely move super far away to an isolated island surrounded by water when you keep losing time. I mean, the first time it was a week, the second time it was 2 days, anything could happen. If this is real, anything could happen to you during that time.
Yeah. And I guess my questions are like, what is her life like right. in this fugue state? Where is she sleeping?
And none of her friends on St. Thomas know about it. So she's not telling, not that it's anybody's business, but you would just like setting yourself up for safety and success. Like, hey, if I go missing, this is what sort of tends to happen to me sometimes.
Because like she knew to go to her own gym.
Yes.
She knew her card number. She knew to take showers. So I'm like, was she eating? Is she wearing the same clothes? Like, my question is like, when you're in this fugue state,
yeah.
experts on this, like how far away are you?
Right.
Because she knew to take showers. So she's yes. like, okay, I'm a human being. Is she questioning who am I? I just want to know like what is going through her mind when she's far away like that.
My questions are more logistical in terms of like, you know, it was like the first time it was New York in the early fall. So it's hospitable weather. She could be sleeping in Central Park if she wanted to, but I don't think she's walking around the Apple store looking like severely unhoused or mentally unwell. Like she's taking care of herself enough.
Right. She knows to do that.
Yeah,
to take the
shower.
Where
is she staying? How is she eating?
Right. And also like, what's the trigger that starts it? And what's the trigger that makes you come back?
Yeah. I really want to get to the doctor. Can we get to the doctor soon? Girl, Momentous is back. We got to talk about their new creatine chews.
Yeah, I always thought that creatine was just for building muscle. That's
no,
what I always thought it was about.
It is good for that, but it's for so many other things as well.
Yeah, it's like a daily essential for your strength, focus, recovery, aging, cognitive performance, so much more than muscle.
They've been talking about the focus and the cognitive benefits of creatine lately. I'm seeing it all over the internet. And now you get it in a delicious chewable? What,
yeah.
Like, why are you not taking this?
They're bite-sized lemon-lime chews. You know how easy
yes,
that is
yes.
to take every day?
Exactly.
You don't have to make a shake. You don't have to whatever. You just pop in.
No.
It's a lemon-lime chewable.
Exactly.
Not unlike myself.
Look, it's trusted by Olympic athletes, pro sports teams, and elite military operators, and some podcasters you've heard of.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Most importantly. And Momentous spent years testing until they created the first chewable that actually meets the Momentous standard.
Yeah, they're not following the trends. They perfect the fundamentals, as they say.
Yeah, they're not compromising science. They're doing meticulous sourcing. They're giving you real transparency.
Yeah, I mean, I love this stuff. I started taking it every day a couple months ago. I have seen a difference in the muscles, girl.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So fam, right now, Momentous is offering our listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code TCO.
Go to livemomentous.com and use promo code TCO for up to 35% off your first order.
That's livemomentous.com, promo code TCO for the brain and the body.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Beauty and brains.
Exactly.
Muscles and brains and focus.
The Jillian Pensavalli creatine.
There you go. So Elizabeth Vargas goes to Stanford and
yeah.
we talk to Dr. Spiegel.
Now, he's like the top doctor in the country on dissociative fugue states. And like, he's here to tell us that like, this shit is real. It really happens. It's like 2 people in 1,000. But then he basically has no answers to any of our questions. Like when asked about the email thing, he's like, well,
she knew what she had to do all the time when she got in front of a computer. She types in her, you know, username and password. And she may not have associated it with the rest of her identity.
Like muscle memory?
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe it was just muscle memory. Like she's put herself in front of a computer so many times, she put her hands down and it just types in the username and the password on its own.
Okay.
And then when it comes to the gym, like maybe going to the gym was another thing that like she did all the time. So she just like had her number and she just knew to give it when she walked in. But then like, how did she know that she needed to check her email? How did she know that she needed to go take a shower?
Like, and it's clearly like you're saying, she wasn't acting like she was in any kind of manic episode because they let her into the gym.
Right. And
so it's not like she was like screaming or she looked in a way that you're like, oh, do you need help, ma'am? Like,
right.
it was just like, sure, write it. Like, can I get you a towel or whatever?
And if you're the leading expert on this in our country, I need you to give me a little bit more information.
Because he says that in this state, people tend to lose memory of much of their ordinary identity and wander off. He says it's real. It's happened. He's seen it. He's treated it. But then that's where the details kind of end.
And he also says that this is triggered by emotional or physical trauma.
And he says people usually don't come from, quote, absolutely normal lives.
Yeah.
And that they're not always traumatized, but often there's trauma. And I'm like, well, let's talk to the mom then.
So, but the mom's here to be like, nope, nothing there, nothing to see here.
Nothing. And apparently Hannah also hasn't told anyone that anything ever happened to her that would be considered trauma. She also is incredibly secretive.
Yeah.
But I guess after the first two times it happened, she did hypnosis to try to find trauma and she didn't find any. And I'm like, no trauma. Like, what's that like?
Right. And then
she was like,
oh, right. Exactly.
You know?
Are we meant to believe then that like it's the weather event on St. Thomas was so true? Like, I just... I want to believe her. It's just like, maybe it's just that we just don't know enough about this. Maybe it's like, it usually is brought on by some sort of like trauma memory or something.
Well,
but
to me, it's school. And that doesn't need to be traumatic, but yes. I'm saying I'm looking at the pattern.
Yeah.
All three times this has happened.
Yeah.
It's been almost to the date. Whatever the first day of school is when this is happening.
Right.
It's
yes.
the first day of school.
Yeah.
Or the day before it or whatever. So something about that has triggered something. I don't mean that school is triggering for her. I'm just saying like,
yeah.
if we were to write it on paper, there's something about that time of year or something about that prep that is inducing this fugue state for her.
It feels like she's, I don't know. I feel like we should be anticipating it by the third time. You know what I mean?
And like, so the expert doctor's like,
could Hannah still be in a fugue state for more than a year now?
I think that's likely. She was prone to it. And so it wouldn't surprise me that she would do it again. I hope that's what's going on.
How long does a fugue state normally last?
Sometimes it's just a day or two, a couple of days, and sometimes it can be for years.
Years?
Yeah.
Well, it's likely that Hannah is in her third fugue state. And I'm like, well, clearly we don't really know anything about this because the first time it happened, the doctors are like, this happens once and you're one and done and this will never happen again.
Exactly.
And now we're on number three.
Right.
And
yeah.
now he's saying she's been in this state for when this documentary was made a year. And yeah. he's like, well, sometimes it lasts for a day or sometimes it lasts for years. And I'm like, well,
but also going missing in St. Thomas is very different than going missing in New York City. Like you can live in on the island of Manhattan for your entire life and never need your passport. You know what I mean? Like in St. Thomas, like she can't go anywhere without like her ID, her passport, her cash, you know?
It's also incredibly small.
Yes. And people would see her.
So, okay. If we can't find her on the island, did she get on one of those boats? But
yes.
it's like, well, all of her IDs were left. All of her, like her license, her passport, or like anything to identify her, she left.
The only other thing that they point out here too is that it seems that when she goes into these fugue states, she becomes somebody who doesn't want to be found. So it's not like you can, like the friend who saw her at the Apple store is like, are you the one that everyone's looking for? She's like, no, you never saw me. I was never here. And then she like disappears into
Hold
the
on,
night.
Let me log into my Gmail.
Exactly.
And I'm saying things like that. I know it sounds smug or like glib or whatever, but I'm saying it is because we don't know enough about this state or this condition
yeah.
to answer all of the many questions that I have, because who does she think she is?
Right.
Not like who the fuck does she think
right.
she is?
Right, no, yeah.
But who does she think she is in this state? Because she knows enough to go to the gym and use that her number and log into Gmail. So she
yes.
knows that she's Hannah enough.
Enough.
It's
right.
on some level, somewhere.
I mean, but then we're back on the island.
We spoke to several people who thought they saw her. And we would do all these chasing. So we've been all over the island pretty much.
How many tips do you think you've investigated?
Dozens of tips.
Dozens?
Dozens of tips.
Sightings almost every day, and sometimes multiple per day.
There are sometimes multiple sightings of Hannah per day. Like, they are looking for her everywhere. They're saying there's sometimes multiple sightings of her per day.
No.
Also, she's maybe been seen in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. I know, this is giving us, like, Amy Bradley.
There's a theory that she's on the island but changed her appearance because she's somehow aware enough that she doesn't want to be Hannah.
Yeah.
But she's still in this fugue state. Like, I don't
no.
think she's on the
no,
island, like, hiding.
The mom is, like, driving around in Hannah's car all day, every day, looking for her. Like, if she was actively on the island, the mother would have seen her. Somebody would have been like, she's, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they say that they're looking at neighboring islands because there was a time after the hurricanes where you could go from island to island without ID.
Yeah.
So that sort of makes things much more complicated for a time.
Oh, God.
But 5 months after the St. Thomas disappearance, Hannah is supposedly spotted in what they call a drug den.
Yeah.
And we talk to the cop who say he arrests her.
Like, this woman is insisting she's not Hannah. This guy doesn't believe, like, the mom is on the way. So, like, we're in the car with the cop. He's like, this woman was seen an hour ago. The cop gets to the scene, sees the girl. She's like, I'm not Hannah. The guy puts her in handcuffs. It's like, the mother will be the judge of
and
that.
And of course they're like, and she was furious trying to get away from him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, obviously.
You put this woman in handcuffs.
So Barbara, Hannah's mom, looks at the woman and she's like, that's not my daughter. And I'm like, well, did someone help her? Does
right.
she need help? Because 2 seconds ago, you described her as being in a pretty bad way.
Yeah.
And Barbara, Hannah's mother, goes,
I remember saying to her, I'm so sorry. You know, we're looking for my daughter. And this young woman got the handcuffs off and embraced me and said, I wish I were her for you. Mm. It's such a compassionate response.
I wish I were her for you.
Yeah.
And Barb was like, oh, okay, but you're not. Bye. And
bye.
I'm like, don't you hear that as a cry for help?
I know.
She's saying, I wish someone was here to save me.
Yes.
I wish I was her so that I could be rescued and go with you. Like, is this woman okay?
I know. It's horrible.
And then we just like never hear from her ever again.
This was a very fast episode. Like the 43, 2 minutes, whatever it was, went real fast.
And so like everyone, you know, Barbara, her mother and her friends obviously are holding on to hope because these experts are saying like, well, you know what we know about fugue states? Not much.
Yeah.
But we do know that like she can snap out of it at any time. So they're telling her mother, like her mother is still sending emails to Hannah, thinking she's hoping that Hannah will check her email like she did in New York all those years ago.
I know. And it's like we're told that the longest a fugue state's ever lasted was 4 years. This would now be seven, like in 2025.
Yeah.
So like I'm sorry to say it, but like I think that like she went to the beach. I think she got in the water and she met with,
I think she perished in the water. I think, unfortunately, she perished in
like,
the water.
And maybe she was in a fugue state and got into the water. Maybe in a fugue state, she didn't know how to swim as well. I mean, remember, like, when they found her in New York Harbor, she was floating face down.
Yeah.
You know?
She wasn't trying to swim, and she's an excellent swimmer. And maybe part of that fugue state is like, oh, I can handle this.
Yeah.
And so, because she was found face down in New York, she was found by the creek, she was found near water. It's the same. If you're looking at the pattern.
Yeah. I mean, and I looked it up today. I looked to see if there was any updates. There isn't anything.
There's none. There's just a lot of theories.
Yes. Oh my God, girl, we did, what's it called?
It's called Vanished in Paradise, The Untold Story.
It was a very interesting story. I mean, like, it was, I'm going to read that New Yorker piece because I hope that it's, like, full of information about fugue states and that whole thing.
I hope they've, like, at least updated it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but it's not that. Oh, no, because that was that happened in 2008 or 9, which
yeah, it was like
before.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, anyway, it was a good, interesting episode. And
yeah.
I'll look for her when I'm on St. Thomas.
It's crazy.
Fam, don't forget to join the Facebook group. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. Over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes.
We got a lot going on.
I know. And you know you get to download and binge those the second you sign up.
Immediately.
If you are on the Hero Bell tier, you're going to get our holiday calendar. We're going to be sending them out, like, so soon.
I love the calendar.
It's the
absolute the
best. We just were looking at all the images. They're so good. What are we doing next, girl?
All right, so there's a show on Netflix. It's called Love Con Revenge. This is Cecilia from Tinder Swindler.
Yes.
This is her new show. So,
explain what's going on here.
So Netflix is being annoying. So we're doing episode one and then the first 15 minutes of episode two because for whatever reason, they like wrap up this case in episode one to like get people to keep binging.
Yeah.
So we're doing episode one, which is like 40 minutes, and then the first 15 minutes of episode two. And I think at like 15 minutes and 30 seconds, it has like the on-screen text of like the name of the next case. You'll know it when you see it.
Okay.
The next case is called Fallen Soldier. So when you see the words Fallen Soldier, that's when we're done.
So we're doing that on the regular feed. We're not doing that on Patreon. This is like a regular feed episode.
It's like a full-length documentary. It ends up being like almost 90 minutes. So we're back with Cecilia from Tinder Swindler. It's been a while, girl.
I watched the first episode. I'm like, this does not have a satisfying ending. And then I got your message today. I was like,
first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like that for the rest of the series. So it's like Netflix.
Look, we're not going to Pernilla's yacht anytime soon,
no.
But can this not be the new way that these channels start to do things? That would be very annoying.
I won't stand for it. And guess what? We're not going to fall for it because we're just going to stop talking about episode two in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Netflix. So it's not going to be like, oh no, now we have to do a case and a half. No.
You don't own us, Netflix.
Hell
no. All right, fans, so stay tuned for the trailer for that. We love you.
We love you. Please stay safe out there.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, bye.
I don't ask for much.
No, that's true. Bye.
I never thought that I would become a victim of romance fraud.
I gave him $150,000.
$2 million of debt.
These scammers have been getting away with this for way too long.
Hi, I'm Cecilia. My name is Jill Chardon. I met a man online. He was charming, handsome.
A ladies man.
Like the perfect man.
I mean, really, it was
almost too good to be true.
He called me up like in desperation saying that he needed money. It was only going to be for like 48 hours, so the understanding that he would pay it back.
I looked at my account and I just saw ATM withdrawals.
I just had to do something.
Rianne Joseph is a private investigator.
You recognize this guy?
That's him in the green.
Go, go, go.
I'm like a pit bull. When I grab hold of something, I don't let it go.
He's hauling ass now.
Haul ass with him.
We're going to find them.
I'll find his Facebook page.
Hi.
Expose them.
You robbed me.
Where the tears are real. And bring them to justice.
Show me your hands. Do it now.
Ain't nobody afraid of you.